In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's gospel, I think it's kind of interesting because, as we know, when we read other passages of the gospel, the disciples are like the people trying to control the crowds. You know, you see so many instances of this where the crowds were pushing in among Jesus and the disciples were going first and sort of clearing the way and leading the Lord to wherever they happened to be going at that time. But in this gospel today, it's a little different because what you hear is that the Lord was leading the disciples in this case. And it says that the disciples were amazed. Because this had not happened before. Something unique was going on at this particular point in time in this particular gospel. And this is what it is. There were many teachings, of course, that Jesus was giving to everyone, to the crowds, to the disciples, all together. But in this case, he was leading the disciples away from the crowd. He wanted to tell them some things that only they were supposed to hear at this particular moment. And then he really unleashes what is our first hint of Holy Week to come. Because he talks to them about how they will go to Jerusalem and the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. And they will spit on him and scourge him and crucify him. And then on the third day he will rise. And the disciples at that point, who really had little understanding of what was to come, in that next week or so, on the road to Jerusalem and in Jerusalem itself, they would have a crash course on what the Lord's mission was really all about. But at this point, when they heard, "and will rise on the third day," they must have thought, "Wait, what? What did he say? What is he talking about? We're going into Jerusalem and they're going to do all these things?" And because they still thought of Jesus' mission as being that which the Jews at the time thought that it was. He was the Messiah. He was going to come in an earthly role as a king, crush all the enemies, destroy the Romans, free the Jewish people from Jerusalem. That's what they wanted. And how do we know this? Because John and James, not our James, the other James, come to him and say, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, grant us to sit on the right and left hands of your glory." Thinking again of like a president and a prime minister. Here comes the king, but here are the big assistants. Okay, these are the guys that are going to be, you know, the power behind the throne. We want to be there. We want to sit beside you when all of this happens. And of course, the Lord, knowing that what he's talking about is completely different than what they're talking about, says to them, you don't know what you're asking. You have no idea. He could well say, you know, not even the bodiless powers of heaven, not the cherubim, not the seraphim, are granted to sit at the right and left side of me. And besides, it's not my power to give you, because you're thinking about this in absolutely the wrong way. And then, can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? Can you drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of? And again, he's talking about two different meanings here, because he knows what he has to do, and he knows that it's impossible for them to partake of that same passion as he's going through. But then, of course, thinking in the same way, John and James say, "Yes, we can. We can do this. We can go with you." And the Lord sort of changes gears and starts talking on their level again and says, "Well, you indeed will drink of this cup, and you will indeed be baptized with the baptism that I am going to be baptized with. But here's something that I have to tell you about all this." And because they were fighting for this position of the right and left hand at his earthly throne, or whatever it was they were thinking, because this was the way that they were all going, so much so that the other disciples, hearing all of this, get really irritated with them, thinking, "Well, what do you mean? We've been with him as long as you two have been with him, and here you're wanting the prime spots. What's this all about?" So Jesus pulls them away and says, listen, you have to understand something, that whoever wants to be greatest among you, you've got to be the least. So he's laying down this beautiful axiom of spiritual life and spiritual warfare. And that's that we don't seek earthly glory. We do not seek these things to put us in front of everyone else, but actually go the other direction. We look for abasement. We look for lowliness. Because the Lord said, you know, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And he's basically saying to them, what you're going to see in the next week or so, you're going to be scandalized by. Because you've already seen me work all these incredible miracles, the biggest one is yet to come with Lazarus. You've seen me heal the sick. You've seen me cure the blind. You even saw me create the eyeball of a blind man and restore his sight. But now you're going to see something else. You're going to see the one that you are putting all your trust in go through some of the most horrible things that you've ever witnessed. And you have to understand that you have to follow and do the same thing also. Because this is my service to humanity. This is my laying down my life for all of you, for the entire creation. And if you want to follow me, you've got to do the same thing. So don't seek this glory. Don't seek to put yourself first above everyone else simply by not necessarily anything you've done yourselves, but by association with me. Don't do that, but serve one another. Of course, as we move on and we get to Holy Thursday, we find this even more when the Lord will wash his disciples' feet. And, you know, even Peter at that point protests, no, no, you can't do that. Let me wash your feet. No, if you don't let me do this, you have no part of me. So slowly all these things are starting to be told to the disciples. And it had to be very disturbing because this is not what they were expecting. Not at all. And when we get to that wonderful day of the entrance of the Savior into Jerusalem, like we will have next Sunday, during Palm Sunday, preceded by the great raising of Lazarus, that probably just sort of reinforced what they thought at the beginning. Because here everyone's giving him this glory, this acclamation. But that's going to change so quickly. Their disciples' minds must have just been reeling at this point. What are we to think? What are we to do? We don't know. And as we know now, it would continue all the way through the crucifixion. They would still be completely messed up in the head about this whole thing, slowly trying to understand exactly what needed to be done. So let us follow the Lord now. Let us follow in this same way. Let us embrace him. Let us seek to serve one another in whatever way we can, even as St. Mary of Egypt served the world by going out into the desert. By her prayers, may all of us follow our Lord in the coming weeks on his way to the cross and to celebrate his wonderful resurrection. Amen.